Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a privilege to be in studio. I never take it for granted. Every single day before I come into the studio, I spend time in prayer, thanking the Lord for those who have made this one-of-a-kind ministry a possibility around the world. Let's go right to the phone callers. First up is Dorothy, listening in California. Hi, Dorothy.
Hello. I had heard somewhere that the Holy Spirit and wisdom, spoken of in the book of Proverbs, are one and the same, and I wanted to get your take on it to see if there was any truth to it.
Well, the truth of the matter is that the Holy Spirit inspired the words of Proverbs, and therefore they're useful for faith and practice. And this is what Paul tells Timothy. In Timothy 2, he says to young Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed, it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so when you look at a book like Proverbs, you have the principles and maxims for living life in a way in which you can be successful, not in a hedonistic, worldly sense, but in a sense in which your success is directly tied to your relationship to the Spirit that lives within. And there's so many wonderful proverbs. Every enterprise becomes wise through planning, through common sense, through staying abreast of the facts, or there's no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. And you look at chapters like Proverbs chapter 3, which is one of my favorites. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Or the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps are broken up, and the skies drip with dew. The book of Proverbs is just rife with wisdom. It comes from the Holy Spirit.
That's great. Okay, yeah, I love the book of Proverbs. I kind of take that track of, you know, reading one chapter a day, you know, for the every day of the month.
That's fantastic.
Do my study, my devotional based on that.
That is so fantastic. I mean, that's really one of the things, Dorothy, that I recommend that people do, which is to read one chapter of Proverbs every day. Then you work yourself through the book once a month on average. And it's, you know, again, all the maxims, principles for successful daily living encapsulated in the book of Proverbs.
It's fantastic. I love it. And I thank you for taking your time and answering my question. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. My privilege, Dorothy. Thank you so much for calling. And I know that what you said will be an encouragement to many people listening in. Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Ron Prescott, Arizona, listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank.
Good evening.
I've heard stories from pastors on the radio of Muslims having dreams of Jesus speaking to them, and then they get saved after he appears to them in a dream. Have you heard of these stories, and do you think they're for real?
Well, I have heard of the stories, and I think they certainly could be for real, which is to say that oftentimes there's an evangelistic stretching of the truth element that circulates in Christian circles. And so you have these stories and then they're embellished and further embellished and so forth. But having said that, can they be true? Absolutely. The normative way that God reaches people is through human agency. But that is not to say that God cannot directly reach someone through a dream in which Jesus identifies himself, not in the Muslim way of a great prophet or even a sinless prophet, but in the sense that this is, in fact, the Lord of glory. And if this is a genuine revelation, they immediately have to give up Muhammad as a false prophet, because Jesus Christ communicates that he is, in fact, God. And according to Muhammad, it would be an unforgivable sin to consider Jesus Christ to be God. That is the sin of shirk in Islam. So, yeah, I mean, if Jesus identifies himself, I am the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. I am the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. I am the one who lived the perfect life that you could never live. That kind of direct revelation is certainly possible, but it would not be normative. It wouldn't be the norm.
Do you think it's possible that some of these stories could be a situation where Satan has appeared to them, or a fallen angel in a dream, according to 2 Corinthians 11:14?
Well, it could be, but remember, if the angel of enlightenment is a true angel of enlightenment, they're going to point you to the true Christ. If it is a false angel, then that angel, though it appears in glory, is going to take you away from the true Christ. And that's why we're called to test the spirits to see if they are from God. And someone that is genuinely seeking after light will receive light. Remember, this is the promise we have in Scripture. Paul, he points it out in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, we have the light of creation, we have the light of conscience. If we respond to the light that we have been given, then we will get further light. So that God puts us in the exact places and times so that we can reach out for him, as Paul said, and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So if we're searching after light, we will receive light. If we're genuinely panting after God, who has expressed himself in the cosmos and in our conscience, then we will get the light of Christ. That is the promise that we're given in Scripture. And back to the phone lines. Next up is Stuart listening in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, Hank. My question is obedience necessary to receive God's blessing?
Well, I think so. You know, I think one of the things that's important to realize is what God himself tells us in his word, and that is that obedience is actually better than sacrifice. God does not delight in sacrifice. He doesn't take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So you look at a person like David. He was blessed materially. He was blessed in every single way. And yet he sinned in great ways, but God continued to bless him. Why? Because his heart was a heart that longed after God. We have the inverse situation where we have people that followed Christ, and yet Jesus was saying to them that they were not genuine at all. They said, Lord, Lord, but they didn't really love him. They loved what was on the master's table, but they didn't love the master. And so they might have material blessings, all of what comes by being close to Christ, but their hearts are far from him. And I think we have many people that are examples of that. They love being around the Lord because of what the Lord does for them. And you think about the early Christian church, it's a great example of what happens. You go back to the embryonic church, and people would be crucified. They'd be vilified. They'd be slaughtered by animals, torn apart limb from limb. And yet they did it with joy because they knew that like their Savior, they would rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So they counted the things of the world as nothing to them because they were looking at eternal treasure. we had the inverse happen as Christianity began to become popular in the Roman Empire. Once it became the state religion, well, now people started going to church because it was good for business. You could find a pretty wife in church or a reliable wife in church. You could have all these benefits by being in the community of faith, and so people started coming for all the wrong reasons. And what happened was a great apostasy, people turning away from the genuine faith to a counterfeit faith. So the real issue is the motive of the heart. And you see that with Cain and Abel as well, don't you? They both gave offerings, and both of the offerings, I mean, there are a lot of teachings in Christian circles, I was just reading about this the other day, where people will say that Cain's offering was not acceptable because of what the offering constituted. It was a grain offering as opposed to the offering of an actual animal. And so it was an unacceptable offering. But that's not the real issue. If you look deeply into the text, the real issue is a different issue. It was a disposition of the heart. Cain's heart did not long after God. Abel's heart did. And that's why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was unacceptable. So the real issue here is the disposition. What is the disposition of your heart? We'll be right back with more.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologists apologetics tools around, your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. Next up is Ashley listening in Georgia on the web. Hi, Ashley.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good, good. My question is probably a popular question, but I was just wondering if you had any biblical verses to support it. But just a common question of why is it that God allows evil and suffering in the world? And I know an answer to that, but I was just wondering if there are scriptures to support that.
Yeah, well, not only scriptures, but the grand meta-narrative of scripture, the big story, supports the reason why there is evil in the world. And the major reason there's evil in the world is because God created the potential for evil. Now, note I didn't say that God created evil. I said that God created the potential for evil. Why? Because he created us as volitional beings. And without doing that, love would be rendered meaningless. So God creates us with the ability to act or act otherwise, and out of that comes the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. What's really important to recognize is that if you look at the philosophical plausible answers to this question, there are only three. People think there may be hundreds, but there are only three. I mean, you have pantheism, which really denies the existence of evil, because in that worldview, all is God and God is all. You have philosophical naturalism, which again denies the existence of evil. This is the worldview undergirding evolutionism, which supposes that everything is just a function of random processes, and therefore there can be no such thing as good or evil. And then there's theism, which has a relevant response. In fact, the only relevant response, and if you want the true response, it comes through Christian theism. So the idea here about evil is that God creates a world in which we are volitional beings, and therefore by our choices we actualized evil. Now, we can get rid of evil. God could do that in the next millisecond, but that would mean getting rid of all of us, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what God has done is he's allowed the wheat and the tares to grow up together, and even those who are the wheat recognize that we are sinful, but we have now the grace of God's liberation through the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Hank. I really appreciate it.
You got it, and I wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Basil, listening in Kentucky. Hi, Basil.
Yes, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Yes, I have a question. What must we do to be saved? Do we need to receive the Holy Ghost? What do we need to do to be saved?
Yeah, you have to have a desire in your heart to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You want to be a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That needs to be your principal goal, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that by God's grace, the Holy Spirit woos you and you respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And when you do, then you, by God's grace, place your trust in the only one who bridged the chasm between humanity's sinfulness and God's utter righteousness and holiness. And that is the person and work of Jesus Christ. You say, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ and trust in Him and what He did for my salvation, for my reconciliation to God, rather than trusting in what I can do.
Okay. Sounds great. I appreciate you taking your time to answer my question.
Sure. And Basil, what happens when you become a participant in the kingdom, you follow the King of Kings and His principles, right? So let's say you say, I want to follow Christ. Well, one of the things you do is you identify with Christ through His church. And so you become baptized within the context of a community of believers. And you take up your cross and you daily follow Him.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Marlene, listening in Missouri. Hi.
Yes. Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Thank you.
I have three questions, but if we don't get to all of them, that's fine. First, a while back, I caught just bits and pieces of one of your shows where I heard the word or the name Swagger and Cult. My mother and I watch him a lot. He emphasizes Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross, and Paul in Romans does too. What is it about Jimmy Swagger that would cause him to be cultish?
Yeah, probably what you heard was the fact that Jimmy Swagger will take religions and he will call them cults, and he'll do that in a gratuitous fashion rather than really understanding what a cult is from both a theological perspective or from a sociological perspective. But he himself, while he is castigating others, teaches a very bad doctrine. For example, he teaches that within the Godhead, there are three separate and distinct persons, each having his own personal spirit body, personal soul, and personal spirit. And he believes that God's body is in one place at one time, as though God has a body. Many other problems with his teachings theologically, but the biggest problem with Jimmy Swaggart is really a function of his moral failures, and I don't want to get into them because that's not my area of expertise, but I can tell you that he was defrocked by the Assemblies of God after refusing to submit to disciplinary action after his moral failures. And unfortunately, since he distanced himself from the authority of his former denomination, he started referring to it as a cult, alleging that some of its officials were in league with the pornographers. And this is simply a way of rejecting his own moral culpability and guilt.
Yeah, there's times when he speaks on situations like that, but he never comes out and says, you know, like, I overcame it, and in the mid-80s or whenever, he says that God gave him the inspiration of Jesus Christ and the cross and what He did there. And
well, I can't judge him as a person. I'm not in a position to do that. That's the province of the Holy Spirit. I was simply pointing out that probably what you heard me say is what he has said, that the Assemblies of God is a cult. He referred to it in that way. And he said that the Assemblies of God, his former denomination, was in league with pornographers. These were his words, and I was simply quoting his words. But I'm also pointing out that he has, apart from the moral failure, he has serious theological aberrations. And so if you're listening to him, you have to have real discernment so that you can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. You get a lot more heat than light in listening to him. And I'm sure you know that if you're a student of the scriptures.
Yes. Now, for the second I believe you do not believe in the rapture, but somewhere in Thessalonians and in Revelation chapter 5, I think, it says that God will keep his church from the wrath to come. And
yeah, that's actually, you're probably referring to Revelation chapter 3, but that text says nothing whatsoever about the second coming or the rapture, and it's impossible to suppose that Jesus is promising to protect the church in Philadelphia from something that's going to occur 2,000 years later. Again, that's a subject of the art and science of biblical interpretation. It's important to read passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, rightly. This is a great and glorious passage on resurrection. It says nothing about a pre-tribulational rapture. Neither do we have anything said by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the church in Philadelphia about a pre-tribulational rapture. That's imposing something on the biblical text that the text is not designed to teach us. So if you want to believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, you want to do that on the basis of sound hermeneutical principles. Again, I'm talking about the art and science of biblical interpretation. By the way, this is one of those issues we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over, but ideas do have consequences, so I think it's an enormously important issue. When I say it's secondary, I don't mean it's not important. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.